The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR, Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app and on channel 1301 Access Pittsfield. Many, many ways to watch and listen to the program. We appreciate you being here this morning with us on Friday, January 23rd. And it's kind of a quiet morning out there today, not too cold. We've got some stuff coming at us tomorrow and, of course, on Sunday, so we'll talk about that a little bit. I'll let you know that we've got a great guest here this morning. We have Jim McGrath here with us. Jim is the Park Open Space and Natural Resource Program Manager for the City of Pittsfield. The big topic, of course, in the newspaper right now is the redesign plans for newly built Wacona Park, the grandstand and outbuildings and support and things like that. So we're going to talk about that for a good amount of time today and a few other things that the parks and recreation have going on in the city right now. So it's going to be a good conversation. Stick around for that with Jim McGrath. First, let's get to the weather forecast from our National Weather Service and find out what is in store for us, at least in the short term. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Extreme cold warning in effect from 7 p.m. this evening to 1 p.m. EST Saturday. Winter storm watch in effect from Sunday morning through Monday evening. Today, partly sunny. Colder with highs in the lower 20s. Temperature falling to around 14 this afternoon. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Gusts up to 40 miles per hour this afternoon. Wind chill values as low as 7 below this afternoon. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. I am hearing, of course, that the cold temperatures are going to roll in tonight and into tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to struggle to get above zero during the day. That's what I'm hearing. And there's going to be a bit of a wind chill overnight tonight. I heard up in the Hilltown areas, it could be as much as 30 to 35 below zero in wind chill.
Wow.
That that will wake you up right away. So, and then, of course, we got the big snowstorm coming anywhere from 1 to 400 inches arriving on Sunday to Sunday night. No, seriously, I think it's we're all going to see probably sounds like 8 to 12 inches somewhere around here, maybe higher in some of the higher areas. That's what I'm hearing anyway, but it seems to change moment to moment, depending on the weather forecast that you hear.
My son is ready to shovel.
Well, that's an important asset to have right there.
Yeah.
Of course, you might want to check your shovels and check your snow blowers and make sure you've got some salt. I don't know if the salt's going to work at that cold temperature. Maybe not. Maybe you're going to be better off just shoveling.
I think so.
Yeah.
Watch your back.
Yeah.
Bend with your knees.
Bend with your back. No, not with your back. With your knees, yes.
Bend with your knees.
Yeah. And you middle-aged guys out there, take it slow. We don't want to, you know, that's the time, right? That's the ripe time. You can get out there shoveling and stuff, and you haven't been doing enough cardio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think we're all, some of us are in that boat.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
You got probably have a three-day weekend.
Yeah, it sure looks like it for Monday, but you know, you never know until you get the news that whether schools are closed or anything else closes down. But it certainly looks that way right now. So we'll see. Well, Jim McGrath, thanks for being here this morning.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me on. I appreciate the opportunity to chat about all things parks and recreation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been great over the months and years since Wacona Park was originally condemned, right? The not the entire park, of course, but the grandstand. That was, what, a couple, 2.5 years ago now? Was it that long? Anyway, you've been great coming in and sort of giving us updates as this process moves forward. We knew immediately when that happened that this was not going to be a short-term fix, that this was going to be a marathon and not a sprint.
Right? Yeah, it was in 2021 that that we really determined how extensive the corrosion was in the grandstand. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty obvious right away that we wouldn't be able to seat fans in the grandstand like we had previously.
So
this has been a process over several years, and you're right. You know, one of the things that I think that's really important, Wekona Park really is such an amazing community asset, and there are so many folks that love the park, have so many great memories of the park, and want to be part of the process of envisioning what this new site could look like. So I appreciate the opportunity to give updates, and there have been a lot of input from the community over the years, which has really been valuable for us.
And of course, since that 2021 time and when plans started to come together to say, okay, we know basically what has to happen. The old grandstand is not savable. You can't just take a few parts off and then rebuild from there. The corrosion of the support piers and things like that, a lot of hazardous material, right, inside the grandstand. It was a period piece, right? That was what they built with when they built the thing.
So the grandstand was built in 1950. Building codes have changed dramatically since then.
Sure.
And it was just one of the things that really was to our disadvantage was that we did not spend enough time and resources on the maintenance of the superstructure. Mm-hmm. And that's where we saw the failing, is underneath the grandstand where those steel supports meet the ground. Mm-hmm. We just hadn't attended to that appropriately over the years. Mm-hmm. And, I'll be the first one to say that we could have done better there.
Mm-hmm. It probably also wasn't exactly designed to last 100 years either, right? When they built it, they weren't building the Taj Mahal. Right?
They weren't building the Taj Mahal, but, these types of structures require maintenance. Mm-hmm. Having said what I just said, the grandstand was in pretty rough shape overall. The biggest issue I saw was that the grandstand was really unfriendly to accessibility for those who had mobility challenges. Wekona Park grandstand just really wasn't the right place. Mm-hmm. And we've made a real commitment over the years to increase accessibility within our park. So when we started looking at a new grandstand and a new design, we had a few options. We could have taken that existing grandstand that's there, the 1950s era grandstand, and we could have made some improvements. We could have repaired those corroded footings. We could have, removed the hazardous materials. Mm-hmm. We could have created, through some creative design, created some better accessibility and improved the restrooms, for example. But once we started adding up those costs, they almost mirrored what it would cost to raise and rebuild. Mm-hmm.
It's throwing good money after bad, basically. After a while, you're just sort of pouring all this money into something that at the end of the day isn't going to be that much better than what you had.
Yeah, from a fiduciary responsibility with the taxpayers' funding, we said, does it make sense for us to take this old structure and invest a ton of money into it and still be left with, the same footprint and the same layout, albeit improved for those life, health, safety, and accessibility concerns.
Right.
This was all put out in front of the community and the Wekona Park Committee, and of course with input from the mayor, previous Mayor Tyre, and now we're working with Mayor Marchetti. But the decision was made to raise the building and to start fresh. So that's the road that we started to go down, and there was a lot of great input. We had a whole host of meetings and online surveys, and there was opportunities to share the design through venues like this and through the Berkshire Eagle. Mm-hmm. And, so we landed on what was a $30 million project, and that $30 million was all encompassing site and all the civil engineering for the site, for the stormwater and parking and the wetland work. The building really was probably an $18 or $19 million building. It was all the other add-ons and soft costs as well that really brought us up to that $30 million mark.
including also demolishing the old structure. Is that part of it too?
Yeah, that was part of it. So, where we've landed now, and I think if folks have been paying attention, and if folks saw the article in the paper the other day on Wednesday morning, you saw that the city has been working toward a reduced grandstand, a reduced project. Basically, we're taking the budget, we're halving the budget, so from $30 million down to approximately $15, which means a reduction in the scope and scale of the building, a reduction in the scope and scale of the work we're doing on the site. Mm. But most critically with the site, we're still attending to the stormwater and flooding concerns as best we can. I'll be the first one to acknowledge that Wakona Park parking lot will still flood. People will still see flood water at times in that parking lot. Yeah. It's what happens after the rains and after the flooding. What does the site look like when it's when the water recedes? Mm-hmm. And so those are the things we're looking at and making certain that the site is super usable even after a heavy flood.
So talk about the process then of how you got from a $30 million project, which it sounded like everybody wanted, right?
Yeah.
If you could have everything that you wanted, and that wasn't even everything, because I remember watching some of those meetings, and some of that was even pared down to around the $28 million mark or whatever. There were some concessions.
There were compromises made. We did start off with the wish list. What do folks want to see? Mm-hmm. And not only the man on the street, but also the baseball community and certainly the Pittsfield Suns.
And you want something comparable to maybe some of what other reasonable cities have for their amenities, right?
The
locker rooms and the bathrooms and the concessions.
And the weight room.
Yeah.
And the
Those are all things that other towns, other communities have in when the Pittsfield Suns, for example, go visit and play another team in a Brockton or
the dedicated umpire restroom and locker rooms part of the building. So these are all the things that we started considering. And as we put the matrix together and said, what's it critical to have? What's desirable to have? So we put that all through a strainer, so to speak. And what came out of that was a very modest building. Like I said, it was on the order of $18 to $19 million.
It's designed to last for another 50 plus years, right?
Exactly. Also. This was a 50-year building that we were envisioning. And but it had it had a great presence. It had this wonderful entrance, and everyone would sort of come up through the middle and into the seating bowl of the grandstand, and then the concessions and restrooms would be on the upper level, so you could effectively be at the concession or near the restrooms and still watch the game, where now that's not possible with the layout of the grandstand. So it was a modest building, but it had some really great qualities to it. And, but again, it was expensive. It was expensive.
And that's where sort of that funding gap comes in. And what we were hearing for a number of months was, we've got, $15 million committed from the city. We had $3 million committed from the feds through an earmark from Congressman Neal.
Yep.
So that, to me, adds up to $18 million. And now, you've got to get up to $28 million. That's $10 million. Where's that going to come from? And in that amount of time, it seems like that was not forthcoming. That money was not going to materialize. Is that right?
That's correct. And, the administration working with staff and others, we really put our heads together and said, how can we do this? Are there grant opportunities? Is there private fundraising? We sort of started going down a road with a lot of ideas, but the reality was a lot of that just wasn't available to us, it was too far of a reach. The timeline would have taken too long. The decision really was to pare back the facility and, give the community really what it's looking for, the spirit of Wakona Park, to reinvest in the spirit of Wakona Park in a facility that, meets our needs. Isn't everything that we're looking for, but maybe everything we're looking for wasn't the right thing to begin with. So. There could be a lot of second guessing, but at this point in time, we know that, $15 million still is very real money that needs to be raised. And again, that needs to be raised through the council. The mayor feels very confident that he can present a project and get council approval. But that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is to deliver to the mayor via the Park Commission a structure that meets our needs, that is modern, that is safe, that is accessible, and also one that respects the setting where we are. Wacona Park has a lot of environmental regulations that follow it, and we have to be mindful that we have to get permits for this project as well.
And a lot of that is because of where it's sited, right next to the Housatonic River.
Yep, floodplain of the Housatonic River. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, there's not only floodplain, but there's bordering vegetated wetland, and there is some contaminants in the parking lot that we've become aware of that need to be addressed. So there's a whole nother arm of DEP that we'll be working with on some cleanup. So there's a lot going on there environmentally. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is create a site and structures that respond to the environmental conditions, but also meet the needs of baseball and of the city.
Jim McGrath is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We're talking about Wacona Park and the scaled back, I guess you would say, designs for the future of the park and the facility itself. Jim has described it in the paper. I read the quote I saw was, it was a tricky exercise. Of going from that larger design with most of the things that we wanted with Wacona Park down to something that will still meet the needs for baseball, for the community, for the park, and things like that. It looks like a bit of a smaller footprint for the grandstand. Is that correct?
Yeah, the grandstand will be in the same approximate footprint of the current grandstand. It'll be a little lower. It won't have as many seats within it. There'll be a combination of the continued with bench seats as well as box seating.
I think they said, I saw it listed at 1,100 seats. Is that what they're looking for now?
Yeah.
And what does that compare to? What did we have previously?
About 1,700. Okay. So there's a reduction, but you know, but we will continue to have outfield seating, and there's a lot of there'll be a lot of new spaces for standing room, because what we find at these games, too, a lot of folks mill around, and especially over by the beer garden and with their family in the outfield. So we're sort of trying to be responsive to sort of the pattern that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really feel we've landed on a project which meets our needs, which is still attractive to organized baseball. This idea of it being a four-season facility, one that we can accommodate concerts down there and fall festivals, and certainly the ice rink, which is part of our long-term vision for the site, the permanent ice rink location. We really feel like we've done the work now. The schematics of the design is what was presented to the Park Commission. There's still opportunity to tweak some of how that might look and feel, but generally what we won't find in the grandstand are, you know, within the grandstand structure itself, are restrooms, concessions, locker rooms. You know, it really is just going to be a grandstand, a seating grandstand.
Mm. So that was the big major change.
Almost akin to the North Adams facility at Joe Wolf Field.
Okay. And that was probably the biggest change there, was to eliminate those items from the actual grandstand structure itself, so you won't necessarily have to do all the plumbing and the electrical and things like inside. They're going to be two new outbuildings to the rear of the grandstand, which will house some of that stuff. What will be in those buildings?
Yeah, so again, within the current grandstand, we have concessions and restrooms and locker rooms. Those we're trying to accommodate those outside of the current grandstand building, the envisioned grandstand building. So we're looking at some structures which sit on the south side of the grandstand and are situated in such a way that they sort of fit with the site and fit with the flow and circulation that we're envisioning. They're elevated. We have to understand we've got flood waters that we're trying to accommodate for.
Will the grandstand also be elevated for that reason, for the flooding?
The grandstand is going to allow flood waters to flow underneath it. Okay. So the whole site will be floodable. Mm. And again, what we want to make certain is that when the floods recede, that we're not left with a big mess.
I was going to say, that would be the first thing I'd think of is that, you know, what would we have to clean up after the floodwaters actually go away? And will we be able to recover the site every time that happens?
Yeah, I think we'll be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So these outbuildings are going to contain concessions and restrooms. We have not made currently a provision for locker rooms, but certainly that's something that we heard loud and clear at the Park Commission the other night, that accommodation for locker rooms is probably something we want to look at. Again, costs are escalating. If we're trying to target the budget, there are some things that have to that might have to squeeze. We're figuring this out. Mm-hmm. So by no stretch of the imagination is this a final design. We are still constructing the schematics and trying to understand what will work. So we're lining up a meeting with the Pittsfield Suns very soon to make certain that we're all in alignment.
Yeah. Well, if scaling back is what has to happen, could that also be a planned future expansion, for example, where you get the, at least things sort of loaded in there. You've got the basics that you need, the grandstand and some plumbing and some electrical and some, concessions and things, and say, okay, our plan is in 5 years to add another outbuilding here to do locker rooms, or another one here to do, whatever you need to do.
That's part of the conversation, and that's one of the things that came out of the Park Commission meeting the other night is readiness for a future expansion, which also means readiness within the permit. We can't go back a second time and try to permit something after the Conservation Commission wants to see the totality of the site. They do not want to see segmented projects. So if we're going to be envisioning future outbuildings, we have to accommodate for them now in the calculations for stormwater and flood compensation. Yeah. So again, a tricky exercise.
That's definitely the key word, isn't it? And anytime you involve the Conservation Commission and anything with the water, as anyone knows who watches any PCTV coverage of city meetings, you know that that's always tricky. That makes sense, though, that if you wanted to, you'd have to run that by them now. Otherwise, later on, it's going to be a much more difficult.
And one of the other important things that we're very mindful of is that climate change really is impacting things here in Pittsfield, will continue to reveal itself in ways that we can only calculate for the future. So we're really trying to flood-proof this site to accommodate
even more flooding, right? And higher flooding.
More intense flooding, quicker flooding, a longer duration flooding. So it's important for us now. If we're building a 50-year site and building, what might the Housatonic River be doing in 30 years that requires our attention now.
Yeah. And I know you're not on the Conservation Commission. That's not your bailiwick. But just generally speaking, I'm sure there's a lot of people who will say, well, why can't they just do something to that section of the river so that that area doesn't flood anymore? I mean, that's a 1950s style thinking in a lot of ways, because that's what they used to do. They'd bring in the Army Corps of Engineers. Yep. They'd put up a big concrete wall and they would prevent the river from flooding that area. We don't do those things anymore. And it's just why is it that just can't be done?
I have pictures of of city workers dredging alongside within the river alongside what was then called Pitt Park, which is now Durant Park, over in the west side along Columbus Avenue. We just can't do that. I mean, we could certainly try to receive a permit for that, but it would be a costly exercise and one that I don't know if would really provide benefit, because there's a long stretch of Housatonic River behind Wacona Park, and it would require some serious engineering at great cost and at great expense for everyone involved. So, no, the river just needs to do what it's going to do, and we have to respond on site for that.
Yeah. And there are people also early in the process, I don't think it's being talked about anymore, but early in the process we're saying, well, maybe we shouldn't have a baseball park there at that location with the river where it is. Maybe it should be at the William Stanley Business Park, or it should be somewhere else in the city where it's not going to have those same problems. That's not being talked about anymore. Was that ever really an option?
It was an option. All the options at the beginning of the process were legitimate options. They're the do nothing option, the abandon the site option, the find a new site option, reorient the grandstand to a different position within the current Wacona Park.
Right.
These are all things that were looked at. The feasibility of going to another site, expensive. You would spend several million dollars simply just creating access, bringing in utility lines, and so the decision was made with the community to continue to utilize that site down at 105 Wacona Street.
Yeah.
I think it was the right decision. I think we can deliver a great project at that site that will serve us well for the next 50 years.
Will the parking lot issues become a bigger problem later if we don't address them now in this project? That was something that, again, you know, was found out while the process was going on, that historically that parking lot maybe wasn't always a parking lot, that there were other things going on there underneath that we don't maybe want to know about. But they're there, and they could still potentially cause problems, right?
Yeah, we are aware of some historic hazardous material contamination dumping in that site. That was city-driven. This is not anything that that happened by others. This was a city decision that was made back in the 40s and 50s and 60s that we're having to live with now.
And but the DEP, that's the story of Pittsfield in a lot of ways, too, not just this site.
Yeah, the DEP is working with us. We will appropriately clean up the site where we need to. Other portions of the parking lot will be capped, essentially, so... that's within the regulations, and but at the end of the day, I think what this community needs to be aware of is that the site will be safe when folks visit the site and are spending time at Wacona Park. The air quality will be fine within within the margins it needs to be. Folks will not be risking themselves by visiting the park, even though we have some contaminants on site. We're working closely with the DEP and the regulators on this matter.
Yeah, well, certainly, again, the story of Pittsfield in a lot of ways, we've been through this before, and it always seems like we find these things and have to take care of them, and it's just the legacy of what to deal. And that's why, you know, when we move forward and we look at things that we're doing currently, we should always be thinking about future generations and what they're going to have to deal with based on the actions that we're taking, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Jim, we've got a couple minutes before the break here. As I was looking over the news stories about the revised plans, I've seen a couple different numbers tossed around, and I was confused about, you know, is this a $15 million project or is this a $17.5 million project? I saw two different reports to that. Or is it somewhere in the middle, or is it...
This is more a $17.5 million project.
Okay.
We need to be mindful that there are construction costs and then there are design permitting cleanup costs. I guess those would be under the construction category. There are some costs that we are bearing for the design and the permitting side of this, which aren't insignificant.
Yep.
So that sort of lends into that little higher price tag.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other thing I noticed was that there was some conversation about whether the Pittsfield Suns would be playing at Wacona Park this year. There was some reporting that said that would be happening.
Yeah,
the other read I have on it is that wasn't the case, but there's negotiations and there's agreements going on. Maybe explain a little of that.
Yeah, so the Suns will not be playing at Wacona Park this summer.
Okay.
Of course, the grandstand will be demoed this May, late April, early May. So that's going to take 6 or 7 weeks for the grandstand to come down. That puts us into the June timeframe. There will be baseball played at Wacona Park, Babe Ruth League, Pittsfield Adult League. Maybe some of the North Adams team might want to come down and play some games here. But we will be playing some baseball. It certainly won't be the Suns. They are they're interested in coming back to Pittsfield, and in fact, the city has signed an agreement with the Suns for them to essentially be the first one at the table when we start looking for a new team or a team to play at Wacona Park. The Suns want to be first in line. So the mayor has made that commitment to work with the Suns to sort of understand where how they may what kind of offer they may have for the city to play at Wacona Park. So we're excited about that. They've been there for 10 years, and I think it's only fair they get the first opportunity. But that'll be at earliest 2027.
Mm. I would think they would need some ramp-up time, too. They'd need to know a date certain as to, okay, this field, this park will be ready for us to field a team when it starts in, you know, whatever, end of May.
And once we get into the construction, there's still, we're sort of projecting, demo will happen, and you know, as this demo is happening, we hope to also be putting the finishing touches on our design plans for the park, and then get that out to bid, presuming all the money is in place. And then we'll have a clear timeline for project starts on X date, project finishes on X date, and we have a great contractor, hopefully, that will help meet those goals. And then in parallel, the Suns can begin to, if they are our baseball operator that we decide to work with, that whomever the team is will be able to ramp up and have plenty of time and date certain to field the team. So we're hopeful for 2027. You know, things could change. There could be some crazy thing that happens to blow up the timeline. But I think, you know, as we think about Wacona Park, this is a project we've been working on for several years. We're trying to set Wacona Park up for the next 50. So if it takes us a little longer to get to that goal, you know, I hope everyone could be patient. But, you know, I'm not the most patient person. So I like to push these things along and meet the goals that we set out for ourselves. So I'll be the first one in line pushing for the timeline.
Well, so many of the projects that you've been involved with through the city, you know from all the years working there that nothing happens immediately, quickly. The planning is necessary. All the ducks have to be in a row. And you just know probably going in that it's just not going to happen as quickly as people would like it to happen.
Yeah, and that's part of, I think, my role out of City Hall is to be a messenger for the project. And to be honest... and to be transparent and to let folks know that that there is leadership within the Parks Department that, you know, is doing everything we can. You know, I wake up every single day and work real hard for this city to try to deliver great projects and great parks. And because I understand how passionate folks are about these spaces, you know, and that's one of the things that really attracted me to the position and that I've really loved as I've learned about the park system over these 25 years, is that so many folks have just some amazing memories, and there's been so many events and experiences in our parks, and you know that's part of the narrative and the story. And I think this, I feel a real sense of obligation to the community to be honest, but at the same time, really try to work really hard and deliver great projects and great spaces.
Yeah. Jim McGrath, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We're talking about Wacona Park here in the first half of the show. Get on to some other things when we get back from our break. We're going to do that right now, where we give you a little information and our station identification, and thank our underwriters, very much appreciated, for supporting our station here on WTBR. So we'll be right back after this with more with Jim McGrath and all about Parks, open space, and natural resources. Right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Are you struggling with your pet? Berkshire Humane Society is here to help. We have a pet food pantry, low-cost cat spay and neuters, free pet care advice, and if you're in the hospital or in crisis, temporary foster care. If you need to give up your pet, we'll accept your animal with kindness and find them the best new home possible. Please call Berkshire Humane Society at 413-447-7878.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
If you thought you knew your music, think again. It's time has come to experience a full spectrum of music. You're locked into the Majestic Michelle Radio Show. I'm Michelle, and every Tuesday from 10 to noon, we're bridging the gap between genres, generations. We'll give you the smooth, iconic moves of Elvis, the raw power of Shinedown to Alabama and everything in between. Please listen to 89.7 WTBR-FM every Tuesday from 10 to noon.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Oh, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, Stockbridge, and, of course, online at pittsfieldtv.org and WTBRFM.com. Happy to have you here again on Friday, January 23rd. We're speaking with Jim McGrath this morning. He's the Park, Open Space, and Natural Resource Program Manager for the City of Pittsfield. That encompasses a lot of things, and we're going to go into some of those other things in our second half here in the program. First, we're going to do the weather forecast one more time, find out what the National Weather Service has. I don't think we're going to get the bulk of the weekend forecast here, but you kind of know what's coming, right? You're watching the news, I hope. You got your milk and bread and got all your toilet paper stocked up. You're going to need to do that soon. Here we go, weather forecast. Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Extreme cold warning in effect from 7 p.m. this evening to 1 p.m. EST Saturday. Winter storm watch in effect from Sunday morning through Monday evening. Today, partly sunny. Colder with highs in the lower 20s. Temperature falling to around 14 this afternoon. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Gusts up to 40 miles per hour this afternoon. Wind chill values as low as 7 below this afternoon. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, so the temperature's dropping today. That'll be the pretext to what's coming up, for sure. So you're going to get some wind a little bit tonight. It's going to be much colder tonight, overnight, and then Sunday. Saturday is the cold day, and then Sunday is the snow day. And it sounds like it's going to spill over into Monday. So we've got some time to have a little winter fun here, maybe inside, maybe not outside. Well, I don't know.
I will say that there's no better time to go sledding at Clatt Park or Reed Middle School than during a snowstorm.
That's so absolutely true.
Let's not forget, folks, there is still plenty of winter fun to be had.
Yeah, and this is going to be the light, fluffy snow, too, so it'll probably be very good sledding snow.
Perfect.
I'm thinking. But you're going to have a lot of it.
Yeah.
You're going to have 8 to 12 inches of it out there. How do the parks deal with weather like that, Jim? Because obviously it's good for some things, probably not great for other things.
Yeah, so, you know, we really see a drop-off, a drastic drop-off in the use of parks in the wintertime. But, you know, at the same time, all of our parks are open. They're all accessible. All of our parking lots are plowed and opened up. So folks can continue to park and utilize the parks for whatever it is they'd like to do. We do see a lot of snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. And, of course, we like to see sledding at Osceola Park and at Clatt Park.
Yeah, Springside Park is great for, you know, walking, climbing around. Yeah.
And
unfortunately, probably not a lot of pickleball going on.
No, there's a lot. Yeah, the pickleball folks are salivating to get back out there. And of course, baseball. And, you know, as soon as the snow melts and the conditions are you know, conducive, folks want to be on the baseball fields. They want to be playing soccer again. So the spring is really the time of year where we spend the most time preparing these parks, getting them ready. Mm-hmm. And so we look forward to that.
Yeah. What's that process like after a tough winter? Is there more work to be done to prepare the parks for the springtime and for people getting back on them if you've had kind of a long and difficult, icy, cold winter?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we always find that we need to do is repair plow damage. Yeah. So we see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We also see a lot of snowmobile damage, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, you know, when there's 2 feet of snow and someone's riding their snowmobile through Springside Park, it's like, but at the same time, it's like, okay, they're not damaging the park. Mm-hmm. It's when we have that, you know, when the snow is melting and we have a, you know, a skim layer and then they're out there on the snowmobiles or dirt bikes, mm-hmm. then that's a real problem. Mm-hmm. But no, generally, you know, the snow melts and pretty quickly things dry out. It's really the just folks getting on the fields a little earlier than maybe they should be, which is kind of problematic for us. People really salivating to get out there and pushing us to get work done.
But that could do more damage, basically, right? That's the critical time where you don't want those motorized vehicles on. Exactly. You don't want a lot of activity on it. You want it to sort of regain that nice luster. And
But the grass will start growing again, and we'll be out there with our mowers. So, you know, this is...
Well, we can dream, can't we?
Cyclical, you know, this is a four-season parks department. But we love to see folks out in our parks in the wintertime, and, you know, that's just a great, nice, quiet time for folks to be enjoying the spaces we offer.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there's something coming up called Winterfest, which is, I guess we'll talk about that now because we're already on the 23rd of January, and people are looking forward to the winter school vacation week. Yeah. There's something special on that Monday, right?
Yeah, Winterfest is this will be our third annual event, which takes place always on President's Day, which is that first Monday of the school winter break. Mm-hmm. So this year it's on Monday, February 16th. Mm-hmm. So again, we'll be at Clapp Park from about 10:30 to about 2:30, 3 o'clock. We'll have a bonfire. Mm-hmm. We'll have hot cocoa and s'mores. We'll have a touch a truck. We're going to bring a lot of vehicles from police and fire and DPW out into the parking lot down by the Little League field. We'll have field games, try to have our own little version of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Of course, Olympics will be happening at that time. And, of course, sledding, cardboard sled races, you know, design your best cardboard sled, bring it out for judging and then some races. So all of that information is on our city website. And Jennifer from my office will be doing a great job getting this promoted in advance of the event. So we hope folks come out for that. It's always a good time, and it's a nice way to kick off the that school break for the kiddos.
And there's also, even before that, isn't there a little sled lending program there at Clapp Park as well? It's a nice little hill for sledding.
Yeah, we have a what we call a sled library at Clapp Park, right off the first parking lot as you make your way toward the sledding hill. There's a sled lending library. There's a bunch of folks who have of left sleds. We have 10 or 15 sleds there. So if you don't have a sled, you can grab one, use it for a few hours, and then make sure you put it back.
Yeah.
Don't walk away with it. And that was something that was brought to us by a community member. And, you know, these are the types of things that, you know, I would have never thought of the idea of a sled lending library, but someone brought it to us and the commission really loved the idea. So there it is. We've got a sled lending library at the park. So, fun
Great.
Stuff.
And other winter fun, I know that's also been in the news recently, has been the sort of temporary construction of an outdoor skating rink. And that was originally planned for Clapp Park, and there was a move to make that go over to Wacona Park instead. So talk about that a little bit, what that entails and when we might see that happen.
Yeah, you know, for years, the Parks Department was able to provide winter ice skating in our parks. You know, we would push snow aside, we'd create some snow banks, and our guys would go out there and we'd flood the park all night long and create these rinks. I think in the 50s, we had something like 6 rinks across the city.
Didn't they used to do that at the Common also?
And then eventually it was one rink at the Common. Yeah. And then, of course, the Common redesign made that not possible at that location. So here we are in the middle of sort of this climate change and seeing that it's difficult to and labor intensive to create these outdoor ice rinks in our parks the traditional way.
So yeah, it hasn't really been cold enough, has it? I mean, in the last few years, or at least not consistently cold enough.
Yeah, and the weather is so sort of up and down. You know, we'd have these really periods of freeze, and then it would be thaw for 3 or 4 days, and you know, so it just wasn't conducive overall, and it wasn't a good use of resources and funds. So we landed on this idea to purchase a temporary ice rink. It's about a $250,000 system. Hmm. Sort of fast forward, the funds were raised through the community and primarily through the Figenbaum Foundation and others. A number of other banks were involved as well in Milltown Capital. We were able to purchase a ice rink system, and it will be delivered next Thursday, the 29th, and will be constructed along Wakona Street between Thrive Diner and Hudpuckers in that green space along Wakona Street. Some advanced work had to happen there because, again, it's in the floodplain and the site's a little sloping, so we had to get permits and create this sort of elevated crib so we could have the level space for the rink. But the rink will go in next Thursday. It's going to take us a couple days to sort of get it operable and work out some of the bugs. But we think that first week in February through the middle of March, we'll be able to provide free outdoor ice skating along Wakona Street. We've got floodlights, so we can extend the day, the skating day, into the evening hours. Unfortunately, we won't be able to provide skates, but we will have some events down there, and we hope that folks come out and utilize this. So,
will there be certain hours for it that people will be able to go? Will it be open sometimes, closed other times?
Yeah, it generally will be open from sunrise to sunset. There will be periods during the day that we'll need to do maintenance. We're not really sure when that will be. We're sort of going to try to figure that out. We're kind of, as I mentioned earlier, we're kind of building this as we try to fly it. but the idea is that, you know, we will have, for many, many years into the future, an ice rink down at Wakona Park. My vision is that we have, a building down there where we can rent skates out of, where there's, a place where we can have a bonfire and folks can have birthday parties down there and we can have date nights and there's all kinds of programming. That's the vision. So I need folks to be patient with us. We're going to build this thing. We're going to open it up. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to try to figure out what it is we need to be doing to maintain and operate this. But we got lots of visions, great plans for this into the future. And it's all part of that four-season approach that the mayor really wanted to see. Both mayors, Tyre and Marchetti, want to see for Wakona Park, which I really think is important. It's too important of a facility to just utilize in the summer.
Yeah. No, it sounds fantastic. And again, gets people out of the house during a time in the winter where a lot of people like to hibernate and not go out. You need some excuses to do that. Certainly that'll be great during winter break again. We talked about Clap Park, but that'll be another way to get out and do some things. I wonder if you'll have like little, maybe down the road, it could be, you know, a little outbuilding of some kind where you could have, a place where people can get the hot chocolate or, you know, that kind of thing. By the way, it'll be free, right?
That'll be free. Yep. Yeah. We'll never going to charge. There may be a charge for ice skates if that's something someone needs. That's the vision, that it's unlike what other communities do across this country when they, you know, I want it to be a destination. Wakona, that part of Wakona Street, that neighborhood is such a great neighborhood. As we try to, you know, reinvigorate and uplift our neighborhoods, we really see this as a really critical piece to that. So really looking forward to seeing this rink operable this winter.
What's the size of the rink? I'm trying to imagine how big it will be. And I know what that parcel looks like down there in the front of Wakona Park, that green space.
Yeah, but the rink is 50 feet by 100. So it's it's a decent sized rink. It's not large.
Like a hockey rink,
it's
right?
It's not as large as a hockey rink or the rink folks might imagine at the Boys Club on Melville Street. But it's a good sized rink. I think it's perfectly sized for that site and the use we'll see down there.
Great. Gotta love it.
Fun
stuff, and get people back out and doing things, sort of like the old days in a way, where at least it won't be the fire department coming and flooding the area, but it'll be even better than that, and it'll be something that people can be attracted to, and just one more thing to sort of highlight the area.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's shift to other parks and open space and natural resources if we can, and give us a quick little update on the Bel Air Dam, because I know that's also something that the that you've been working on. Again, another marathon project, not a sprint, but that's a state-run project to eliminate that particular dam just down the street from where we were just talking about at Wacona Park, down on, I guess that would be the east branch of the Housatonic River, where there was an old mill and an old dam, dates back 150-something years.
So
we've had extended discussions about that here.
Yeah, so you're right. The Bel Air Dam was a critical piece of infrastructure associated with the mill site, where for many, many years woolen products were developed out of Pittsfield at that location. The dam was in horrible shape, really derelict, was essentially abandoned by the owner. So the state worked with us to take over the whole site. The city now has control of the whole site, and the dam will be coming down in a couple months.
Wow.
Right now, what we're doing is we're removing all of the sediment and creating a new stream channel for the river through that site. So there's a lot of sediment coming out, about 10 big loads a day right now. They're working throughout the whole winter. We see the project wrapping up sometime this summer, probably June or July.
So right now the river is diverted, so it's no longer, the water is no longer feeding into the old dam.
Yeah, the water is diverted on site through a temporary channel that we've constructed, and then bypasses the dam. Mm-hmm. So there's no threat of any failure. Yeah. We wanted to eliminate all of those potentials. So yeah, all the sediment's coming out. The dam will come down, and then we'll reintroduce the water back into the new channel we construct. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a big technical, expensive project, but it's one that needed to happen.
Yeah.
It's there was a real toxic legacy in that sediment behind the dam. The dam itself was a potential contributor to a flooding situation downstream.
Certainly.
if it were to go during a wet weather event. So
I think at one point it was inspected and they said, no, this one's really not in great shape.
It was one of the top five hazardous dams across the Commonwealth. That's why the state put $20 million toward it.
Right.
So as soon as they indicated they wanted to fund the removal, we stepped right in and said, we will do anything we can to help move this project along. So,
and you said that the site had been abandoned. I just imagine, who wants to own a 150-year-old contaminated dam?
Exactly.
I don't think I want that in my real estate portfolio.
Yeah. So one of the things that's really super about this project is that there are a lot of folks across the state looking at this project and tracking it, because they have very similar situations in their community. So we're sharing out a lot of what we're learning about this dam. And in fact, there was a guided site visit with about 45 individuals from across the Commonwealth who are interested in dam removals like we're doing. So there's a lot of technical expertise that is sort of leaving Pittsfield through this project and benefiting other communities. So that's a really important part of a lot of the work we do, is that we're sort of transferring our knowledge and our understanding of how we can pull these difficult projects off in these tight urban situations. Mm-hmm. So we feel good about the leadership we're providing there.
Yeah, and I guess there are other benefits to taking it out for safety purposes. As the dam goes away, the river gets to be restored in some way, so some of the natural habitat hopefully will be coming back as well. What will it look like once that's all taken out and then there's some restorative features put back?
Yeah, it's whereas now a lot when you drive down Wacona Street or previous to the project initiating, you would see this big pool of water there. You're not going to see a pool of water anymore. You're going to see a stream channel. You're going to see plants, riverside type plants along there.
Mm-hmm.
The dam will have been removed, but it'll also be a place where, there'll be a better view from the road into the site. There's going to be some new benches along Wacona Street, and then there's an area over by the dam where we're going to site some benches for folks to hang out there and quietly reflect. It's going to be another sort of, contemplative open space spot along Wacona Street. You can fish. People can continue to fish there.
And I don't know if I'd want to be fishing in the old dam anyway, right? But now bringing that ecosystem back probably can't hurt either. The wildlife and the fish could eventually recover in that area.
They absolutely will recover, and there will be some you know, 4 or 5 years following the dam removal of monitoring for benthic invertebrates and other mammals and other critters that'll be moving back in. We're really confident that there'll be a successful reintroduction of good habitat and ecosystem there.
And it seems like it was done with minimal impact to the residents surrounding that area. It hasn't seemed to have been a big problem where when it was first laid out, it seemed like there was going to be some big traffic disruptions and some noise disruptions and things like that. And to be honest with you, I haven't heard very much.
This is a situation where going into the project, the design engineer said, oh, the only way to do this is to close the road to traffic only in this direction.
Right.
And, you know, but then when we put the project out to bid, the construction company that was awarded the project said, whoa, wait a minute. We can do this a completely different way. So it sort of goes to show that, you know, the folks that sit in the office and think they have all the great ideas often need a reality check from those that actually work on these types of projects. So we really benefited from the contractor we selected and their experience and their understanding of actually how you pull off a very complicated project where there's a lot of trucking and excavation involved. So, they were able to come up with a plan which kept the road open in both directions, minimal, if any, impact to the community. And, you know, and the city has been allowing staging for those trucks at Wakona Park parking lot. So that was a big benefit as well. We never had thought about that as part of our strategy. You know, we have a lay down location right down the street. So, so again, it you know, all credit to the contractors who do this, you know, ask them first, you know, maybe that's the takeaway.
Well, and that's where some of the creative thinking comes from too, right?
Yeah.
When you've got something like that coming and you say, okay, wait a minute, we've done this before, or let's, you know, think outside the box here. We can do this without having the big disruption that was laid out. So
that was my biggest fear through the whole project was the traffic disruption and the impact to the community. But that all went away. And in one afternoon when they came up with a better idea.
Great. Jim McGrath, my guest here this morning. You're listening to Morning Drive if you're just tuning in. And he is the Parks, Open Space, and Natural Resource Program Manager, City of Pittsfield. And we were just talking about the Bel Air Dam project. They had a lot of projects going and always seems like you always have multiple balls in the air here.
Yeah.
Over the summer, the Pontoosuc Lake project is another one that I guess is mostly wrapped up now for phase one, right? Maybe just give us a quick update on that in the 2 minutes or so we got left.
Yeah, phase one mostly wrapped up. If folks haven't been out there and seen the new boardwalk area and some of the pathways we constructed, I would encourage folks to get out there.
Much more accessible now too, absolutely, than it was before.
Absolutely. The whole idea of that project was to create better accessibility and just give that park a real sprucing up. Hadn't really seen a substantial investment in a number of years. We're going to try to create some additional access points along the bank. That was something we heard from the community that they wanted to see some better access for fishing and swimming. So we're going to create some new stair steps down into the water. Mm-hmm. So that's coming in 2026. Mm-hmm. And then right now we're currently working on the phase two, which is across the channel. The other side of the park, we're coming up with the final design plans and cost estimates there. So that'll be a 2027, 2028 project. So that's on the horizon.
So designing that now, how does the funding look for that? Because that's always, you know, certainly we had a sort of a good number of different funding sources for phase one, including some ARPA money. And this time around, that's gone. So are there good prospects for making that phase two happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So the city had authorized the capital expense for phase two of the project. So we have several hundred thousand dollars ready to go. And the whole idea is that we use that money to leverage other money. So there is one particular grant that we apply for these types of large projects. projects, and that's what primarily funded phase one. So, you know, the thinking is that, like, hey, state of Massachusetts, you funded phase one. Look how good it came out. Mm-hmm. We're ready with the design plans for phase two. How about, you know, continue the help us with our efforts? So and I feel confident there.
Yeah. What are some of the big characteristics that we'll see on phase two on the other side of the lake?
Phase two is the location of the new public beach.
Okay.
So we'll be, if you're familiar with that side of the park, if you want to swim there, you have to jump off the wall or climb down the stairs. Yeah. So we're going to take part of that wall away. We're going to create a new sandy beach and for family swimming there. There'll be a little changing area and just better benches and picnic tables and just sprucing up the area. It's gonna be real handsome.
Looking forward to that for sure. Lots of things going on.
Yeah.
Jim McGrath, thanks for coming in today and giving us an update on all these different projects going on in the city. I know a lot of people are looking forward to watching baseball again at Wacona Park, and we'll have you back on to talk about how that's progressing as that goes along.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate the time.
All right, you bet. Thank you. And everybody have a good weekend. Stay safe out there. Stay warm. Bring in your pets. Don't leave them out, please. Keep your kids safe as well. And, you know, go out and have some fun, but be safe. Be careful. Have a good weekend. We will see you on Monday. Take care, everybody.